From Comedy Film Nerds, from ComedyFilmNerds.com. With Graham Elwood.
The Floating Force of Pandora, ever heard of it?
And Chris Mancini.
What clan are you from?
This is the Comedy Film Nerds Podcast.
It's not that great.
This is not the ninja movie I signed up for.
Cousin Eddie's package.
Why can't this happen?
I got nothing going on.
Hello, and welcome to Comedy Film Nerds Podcast, episode
18.
That's right. My name is Graham Elwood.
I'm Chris Mancini. Thanks for listening.
Welcome to the international headquarters, the world headquarters of Comedy Film Nerds, located deep in a bunker below the earth.
At the earth's core.
At the earth's core.
It's really the universal center.
Yeah, we are in the center of the universe, without a doubt. Our corporate headquarters are that big. We're that big of a multinational conglomerate. We just bought a third world country, and we're executing all of the people in the village.
So I think you're living in a third world country.
Yeah. The San Fernando Valley, yes, is a third world country.
And we've expanded the garage. Now there's a toddler bed in it. A
toddler bed, so I can sleep.
Yes.
Well, but it doesn't have a mattress.
Oh, that's all right.
Well,
I just put a board down on mine to distribute the weight a little bit because it's only meant for a 60-pounder.
Sure. Well, Graham just puts his head on it.
Okay. Yeah, so. That's where I sleep. My head sleeps on a toddler bed.
And the rest of his body, we have seven beanbags.
Seven beanbags in a toddler bed.
Yeah.
I think it's reasonable for a grown man to sleep that way. Let's welcome our first guest.
You did it again. First guest.
First guest. I know. Yeah. I always say it like it's a late night talk show. And there's,
sure.
We're going to have a band and everything.
A thousand more guests.
There's other guests?
No. I'm dumb.
Well, I'm first.
Yeah,
well, you're still first. Sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ladies and gentlemen, this next guest is also a writer for the site, mm-hmm. and we've known her for a very long time. Very, very funny, mm-hmm. very talented, and very active in the entertainment community union-wise.
Yeah, and has also done one of our live shows.
Yes, and a great live performer as well, done our live shows. Please welcome Betsy Salkind.
Hello.
Hello.
Best squirrel impersonation in the business.
Indeed. Yeah.
Especially good on the radio.
It's so good when you do your impressions like that on the radio. Big physical comedy works. Our next guest. No.
Okay, see ya.
I've only done 18 of these. I still can't get it right.
No, 17.
17. This is the 18th.
Yeah, so.
That was my 18th introduction. That was incorrect.
Sure. technically, yes.
Yes, 18 errors.
It's not wrong. I am the first guest.
You are.
Today.
Technically true.
Thank you, Betsy. Get off my back. Yeah. Toddler bed.
Yeah. It just sounds weird to say the guest.
Yeah.
Yes. First is always better.
Our guest for today's show.
Wow, perfect. Why don't you record that?
Yeah, it's not like I've hosted
it on a loop.
I've only done 300 episodes of TV. I think I could get it right.
Now, Betsy, tell us a little bit about yourself. You have your own website, too, right?
Yes, I do.
It's BetsySalkind.com?
Yes.
Indeed. And you have some, you're doing all sorts of stuff right now, live performance and some underground satirical work as well.
I'd like to think it's not underground, but I guess it is. I have two books.
Yes.
They're children-style books for adults, although I'm going to relabel them with NC-17 because people really think they're kids' books, and they're not. And so they don't buy them because they think, well, I wouldn't be interested in that. But the latest one is Betsy's Sunday School Bible Classics, and I took the old... You know, the classic stories from the Old Testament, and put back all the stuff they took out so kids wouldn't run away screaming, and then I illustrated it.
Yes. In fact, we have it in the store.
That's
we'll
right. Available.
As well.
And five of the stories have been adapted to video, and those are all on YouTube.
Excellent.
And maybe you should link that on the site.
Mm.
I believe in the
They're little
page.
Films.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We have a little film.
Boom.
Right there. Mm-hmm.
We'll do it. Done.
So we actually have a lot of movies to go through.
All right, we do.
That are in theaters. There's a lot of – I didn't say a lot of good movies. I said there's a lot of movies.
Couple of quick shout-outs first.
Let's do the shout-outs. Of course. Let's do some shout-outs.
I'll do shout-outs to all the people that came out to the shows in Kentucky, and especially those that came out to Oklahoma City. There was a lot of film nerd fans there, and Doug, we did the Leonard Maltin game from his podcast, I Love Movies.
Oh, right.
We did a live version of that. Somebody yelled out in the audience, Comedy Film Nerds and Han Shot First. So that was really cool. So thanks to all those. And then, Eric Fike.
Or Fiki?
Fiki? From
Philadelphia.
Boy, we got a lot of prop Philly. They've sent us music.
Absolutely.
They've sent us.
Philly's been really supportive. My hometown. Really love it, guys. Thanks. He was listening to some old episodes and found that we were talking about making bumper stickers about who all the fans that we were alienating, specific members of the audience. And he made a Don't Alienate Your Cowboy Nerds bumper sticker for us. So. You know what? I think we're going to make it.
I think we're going to make those, and hopefully soon in the next month, I'm guessing, those will start to be a item we'll throw in on a purchase maybe.
Yeah, I think so. We'll throw them in as like a little extra.
They look great. Yeah. I saw the mock-up.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Beautiful. It just made me giggle.
Eric Fikai, you...
Fikai?
Fahikai?
Eric F.
Eric F.
Eric F, like we're in an AA meeting.
Hi, Eric.
Eric, just send it. Why don't you do the Serenity Prayer, and then we'll get into it. That's a little 12-step shout out.
Now you're alienating your 12-step.
Now I'm alienating. No, they're on board now. I'm alienating all the drunks.
Oh, they're not up there.
Don't alienate your comedy drunks.
Don't alienate the addicts. That's it for our shout-outs, right? Okay. God, we have weird pauses on this show. We always just come to uncomfortable pauses.
I like to play the pauses.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what makes me a bad radio guest.
Well, we like to have pregnant pauses and then false labor. And there
that
we
was
go.
Not a great pause. That was golden. That was golden. Really uncomfortable pauses. Let's make this the most uncomfortable pause show we can ever do. With all of the guests.
Well, you got the right first guest.
All right, let's kick off this toddler bed.
Yes, in theaters, our guest has seen the Joan Rivers doc, and we want her to tell us about it.
Oh, yeah, let's get into that.
Yep.
Oh, now?
Yes.
Well, I actually went and saw it last night at the ArcLight, and you know they charge more on holidays?
What?
Sure,
$16 for a ticket. Anyway, I went to see it because my mother called me and said, I saw the Joan Rivers movie, and I realized some things. I'm like, really? What? Well, why don't you watch the movie and then we'll talk? So last night I went to see the movie and it was... Dang it.
Hold on. The lawn guys are here. And the leaf blowers are gone. The lawn mowing team is gone. They just... Anytime we're not recording a podcast, they come here early.
You know, I've been sitting here for 6 hours waiting for them to be...
Well, they're very thorough.
They use tweezers to mow Chris's lawn.
Just leave the noise in the back.
Yeah, they were just out there wrestling in Chris's kiddie pool with leaving the leaf blowers on, which I thought was inappropriate, but
entertaining.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be the first thing on our YouTube channel.
Chris's lawnmower bath party.
Yeah.
So you were saying you spent $16 to see the Joan Rivers documentary at ArcLight.
Yes, and it was packed. I was surprised, and I was led to my seat because I was a couple minutes late. And I
did they take you by the hand?
Yeah, they had to because I'm night blind. So, it was a rather elderly crowd, and I knew this mostly from the smell. There was. The guy next to me had to have had I don't think he had an accident. I think he just has Old Spice and the 5-gallon drum with the handy foot pump. And I could not take it. After a while, I had to move. And I was going to go sit on the stairs, but then it turned out one of the handicap seats was empty, which was a shock. And then I enjoyed the movie from there.
Was there a lot of crinkling of opening up of cough drops throughout the...
It was really just the smell that was...
Just Bengay and Old Spice?
Oh, my God. It reminded me. Well, I'm not going to say, but I could not figure out what my mother was talking about, and I was unable to reach her before this radio show this morning. So I'm sorry, because that'll be a good follow up. I think.
Do you think it had something to do with the life of a comedian?
You know, something to do with it. I remember one time she asked me, you know, well, I saw on I don't remember, it was like Phil or Oprah, one of those shows. You know, they said that all comedians had a terrible childhood. Do you think that's true? And I said, well, I think most people have terrible childhoods, and some of us become comedians. And that's the last time we really talked about the life of a comic. So this will be interesting.
Or your childhood.
Yeah. Well, sounds like there's a lot of stuff you guys need to talk through.
Oh, no, no, no.
So the movie, what did you think of the movie?
Well, the movie it was interesting. I mean, I was surprised. You know, I was never really a Joan Rivers fan. I mean, her style of comedy is really not my style of comedy. But I was surprised to see how much I felt like I had in common with her. Mm-hmm. And I was very surprised to learn that she really saw herself as an actress. And the comedy was just what she did, you know, to pay the bills.
How did you see yourself like her? Like, what parallels did you...
I think, well, first of all, that. I mean, because I had started out wanting to be an actress, and I went into comedy so I had, you know, so I could work.
Right.
So I had something to perform. I wrote for myself. And then eventually sort of fell in love with comedy and really stopped acting after a while. But also, I think just that she's the happiest on stage. Like, that is really what gives her joy in the world. And I often feel the same way.
The thing I'm
except when it goes badly.
Then the stage sucks. I haven't seen the movie, but I saw the trailer, and the thing I really want to, I'm curious to learn about is, because I only, you know, was introduced to her like most of us in the 80s on Johnny Carson or whatever, and hearing just the clips I saw in the trailer of her, like, you know, in the 50s, Jewish girls from Long Island or wherever she's from didn't do stand-up comedy.
And they certainly didn't talk about the stuff she did.
Yeah.
I have to say, she was really funny.
Right.
I was really amused.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't laugh because I'm a comic, but
right.
Yeah. A lot of people laughed.
The Old Spice guy laughed.
Now, did the odor get worse after people laughed?
Well, by then I was in the handicap section by myself, you know, because they have a large area for the wheelchair, so... Mm-hmm.
You sitting on then?
Well, I was sitting in the chair. Maybe it's the chair that's for the person next to the person in the wheelchair.
Friend. Right, the guest.
Yeah, I was with the friend.
Or whatever.
I thought you were sitting in the actual handicap spot.
I would have.
Yeah.
But,
So, in fact, Jackie Cation also did a review that'll be up on the site.
Oh, great.
Shortly, and she had the same thing. She really related to her, and she absolutely loved it.
Yeah.
Movie.
To me, like, any good, like, documentary or interview or something where they go in depth with a comic, even if it's a comic you don't like. Like, if you remember that old show that was on, probably was called The Ha Network, where Alan King, inside the comedian's comic's mind or something like that, he would interview comics one-on-one, and they would talk seriously about being a comic. And, I mean, he had, like, Dice Clay and comics that I was like, eh. But to hear any comic talk about what it's like for them
and the business side
of it.
I think it's like, you know, war vets. I mean, you go through something that's very unique to what you do, and it's like we're all connected in some way.
And nobody knows what it's like to be on stage except us.
Right.
Like, no, to be on stage telling jokes. Like, a musician kind of knows, but it's not...
It's not the same.
It's not the same thing. And only...
You know, people are like, oh, that's the hardest. And I don't really think so. I mean, I would have a much harder time singing or dancing in front of people.
Right.
Because I'm not good at those things.
Yeah, I can't sing.
Good. But no one yells at you when you're in a play.
Well, that was the greatest part in the... A really great part in the movie where somebody yelled at her at a show, and she just went back at him, and it was great.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she really was amazing with the heckler.
That's what I want to see. I would love to see, especially if it's...
And she's 75 years old doing this.
Right.
Yeah. And there's a great scene between her and Don Rickles. He's in his 80s. And it was really...
He's
hilarious.
He's still amazing. Like, that's like... I have a lot of, like... You know, like, I've seen... The Bill Hicks documentary, we talked about that, which was really cool. And then I've watched several things about Lenny Bruce, which, you know, that era and all of the, you know, you forget that he got arrested for saying words we can say whenever we want. And not, there's never a problem.
On a podcast.
Even on a podcast. Right. I can say cocksucker.
Yeah,
right now,
sure
I just said it. Mm-hmm. Toddler bed, cocksucker.
But you can't be one.
You can't.
That's still illegal.
You can't marry one because that's against God's law. Uncomfortable pause. That was a really good uncomfortable pause.
No, just in California.
Just in California.
Yeah. I know. We're behind Iowa now. That's amazing.
Wow. That's great.
Well, anyway.
Anyway.
All right. Speaking of gay marriage, Night and Day.
Tom Cruise. I saw this movie.
Mm-hmm. God bless you. And you know what? Oh, before we get into it, Dean Haglin saw it, and he was ready to hate it, and he actually kind of liked it.
You know, there was the first 30 – I saw the trailer several times, and I was like, you know, what? Maybe, you know, I'm all for fun summer shoot 'em ups. You know what I mean? I'm all for it. And this movie, the first 30 minutes or so, were great. Tom Cruise was hilarious and kind of a badass. And so it was, and there's some great action scenes in the beginning, and like how he deals with people is so funny, but then it just started to slow down and became sort of predictable. And like there was then a fight scene later in the movie where he was like not doing that well against this dude. I'm like, well, in the beginning of the movie, you took out like 8 guys and now you're having one problem with this German dude on a train. Like,
he got tired.
Yeah.
Well, that's true.
He's one continuous shot.
Yeah. His E meter was low.
Right.
Overall, it's okay. I mean, it's I kind of
night or day.
He was night.
Nice.
And then there's nobody named Day.
Susan Day.
That's weird.
Susan Day.
Susan Day from the Partridge Family. So I mean, it's okay as far as just fun summer stuff. It's all right. You know, it's not horrible.
Didn't do that great.
No, it didn't do that great. Which kind of to me, I wanted to talk about this, and because we've talked about this in previous podcasts. It's really Hollywood is so shifting and they don't quite know what to do because the big
that's the problem. Hollywood isn't shifting. Yeah, the audience is.
Right, exactly, because Hollywood is still clinging to this big mega star is going to open the weekend, and that's not what's happening. Russell Crowe didn't do it with Robin Hood. Like, you know
what does do it? Giant robots.
Yeah. Transformers or Iron Man. I mean, Iron Man did good numbers, but like you can't.
Toy Story did great.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Animated stuff does great. Shrek did great.
Yeah, Shrek, and the difference is Toy Story was great, Shrek 4 was terrible, and they both did huge numbers.
Right. And so like
Toy Story 4 will do well, and maybe Shrek 5 won't.
There won't be a Toy Story 4.
Right.
Yeah.
Did they kill off the toys?
That's not spoiler.
Okay, all right.
Come on.
Don't spoil it because I haven't seen it yet.
They both become spies. But so, you know, it's okay, but I felt like I was watching like – I feel like we're at this period now. It's like where in the 70s when they started to go away from the studio system and independent filmmakers and Easy Rider and Godfather and Apocalypse Now and all these amazing movies started to get made. I feel like I'm watching – Night and Day was like watching an old studio musical in 1974.
This will be DeMille production.
Yeah, exactly. Like you're watching
the numbers.
Yes. Mm-hmm. In 1973, when like all these amazing movies were coming out, and they're still clinging to this old business model. And I think that's where we're at right now.
The problem is it's not only an old business model, it's an old artistic model.
Yeah.
And this is the kind of movie that, this would have been great 20 years ago.
Sure.
This movie.
In the 80s, this would be a great.
Well, it's also, older actors. I mean,
yeah.
It's older actors. Kids don't know who these. I don't know if they know who Tom Cruise and Cameron Diaz are.
Yeah.
I could be wrong.
But they're doing the same thing over and over again. If you were seeing Tom Cruise do something new, I think younger audiences would be on board.
And to his credit, he does do kind of a newer – I mean like he's not playing straight – way serious Ethan from the Mission Impossible movies. He's doing a very kind of funny version of that guy, which I liked.
He was really funny in that fake Vietnam movie.
Oh, Tropic Thunder.
Yeah, Tropic Thunder. Yeah, he was great in Tropic Thunder.
And he's more interesting to watch in those movies. Like Collateral, he was more interesting to watch.
Oh, Collateral was great when he's playing like that just vicious hitman who's just no nonsense. So he's kind of doing the Collateral and the Ethan from Mission Impossible that in sort of a funny version. And the action in the beginning is funny, but then it's like it's almost like they shot the first part of the movie last or something, and like Tom Cruise himself went, we got to ramp up this action, because the second half of the movie is just like, man, I've seen this movie 1,000 times. You know, I mean, it's like, I'm like, shit, I'm amazed they didn't have a red wire, blue wire scene in there. You know what I mean? Like it just got very, very spy movie predictable.
Fly by wire actor.
Yeah. Yeah. It really got into that. And I wish
fun.
The first, if they could have kept that first half hour going,
to do it.
They obviously went, let's get unconventional, but you can almost like see Hollywood, the studios, like, let's get unconventional, but not too much.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, let's bring in Conan O'Brien. Oh no, go back to Jay. You know what I mean? Like they're still scared to do it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, oh wait, there's a, change. Oh, we can't have a black man president. You know what I mean? That's what I feel. Like it's the old people, you know, that watch old movies,
Green Acres
and Fox News, Your Mom in the Car, great movie, remake it. So anyway, I don't want to go
I don't understand remakes. I'm almost offended by them because if the movie was good, leave it alone.
Yeah.
Just watch it again. And if it was bad, why remake it?
Do you know why they're not calling them remakes anymore for that very argument? They're trying to repackage them. Oh, no, it's a reimagining. No, it isn't. Right. It's a remake.
That's a repackaging of the remake.
5% of the time, it's interesting when they do something. Like, if there's a movie
310 to Yuma.
Right. 310 to Yuma is a great example. That was an old, old film, and they went, I wonder how that would be like today. That would be great to see it today with today's, you know, acting or whatever. Or like a sci-fi movie from a long time ago and going, now with the technology, we could really make this interesting. But most of the time...
See, I like the kind of, you know, abominable snowman look of the old King Kong.
Right, right.
Sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the new King Kong was, oh.
It was about 2 hours too long.
Peter Jackson.
Love Peter Jackson. Did not love that movie. Okay. Let's go. Now, let's go, since we did Big Giant Studio, let's go to an indie. I saw Micmacs by Jean-Pierre Jeunet. And I didn't.
Is that German?
Yeah, he's German. Yeah. I like this movie. I didn't like it as much as... Delicatessen or City of Lost Children. I just love those movies. But I really like this movie. And it's a cool story about a guy who just works in a video store. And there's a shootout in front of his store. And he gets shot in the head. So he wakes up. He looks at the bullet. And he realizes, like, who made the bullet. So he finds, like, this family of, like, weirdos to take him in. And he tries to get revenge on the company that made the bullet. So he goes after the arms manufacturer.
Well, that's where the money is.
Yeah, exactly.
That's your deep pockets.
And
it's good call.
It's really cool, and you know they do kind of like a cool heisty thing. It's definitely slow in the middle. It takes a little while to get going, and I'm worried that that's like my American in me. They're like a French movie. Oh no, come on, more heist, more action, more quicker. I'm like, no. The French take their time. They really do. Yeah. Whether it's making a movie,
slow food,
cooking in a restaurant, yeah, or fighting Germans. They just take their time.
They take their time losing in the World Cup and not making to the next round.
Yeah.
Fighting with their coach.
Take our juice, please.
Yeah. It takes a little time. So it's a good movie. I would. People are going to have to rewind to get that. It was a good movie. I don't think it was his best, but it was definitely enjoyable. Some cool, fun characters, beautifully shot. His movies are always beautifully shot. And I think if you're a fan of his other films, and if you liked Amelie, it's a little more Amelie than Delicatessen, which was not my favorite one. I think Delicatessen and City of Lost Children were my favorite, but favorites. So recommended.
And Alien 4, right?
And he did Alien 4 and put all of his cast in from all these other movies that he did. So it was so weird to see. Like,
Alien
this.
Goes to Paris.
But that was a remake of the original Aliens 4.
Exactly.
Repurposing.
Yes,
it was a reimagining.
It was a French reimagining. It was like, oh, what are all these French actors? And he put them all in one shuttle. That's what I loved about Aliens 4. They all just show up in one shuttle.
Bonjour.
To the alien ship. I'm like, okay, well, this makes shooting easier. All your friends are in one confined place. Okay.
Yeah, so the trailer for that looks interesting. I definitely want
to
see that.
It was definitely good. All right, next one. Let's go back to big studio. M. Night Shyamalan, The Last Airbender. Originally, Avatar, The Last Airbender, but they had to take Avatar out of the title because of James Cameron's abomination.
I was like, am I missing something with this movie? Like,
no.
I know nothing about this. It's a comic?
No, cartoon.
It's a cartoon.
Yeah. A popular cartoon.
A popular cartoon. So there was like some high school kids in there that were cheering and all fired up. So I was like, well, maybe I don't know this at all. So maybe I'm just missing all of the things they're referencing in here and just.
What could you possibly be missing?
I don't know. It was just so boring.
Let's get this out of the way. M. Night is a terrible filmmaker. He really is. He had one good movie.
I think Unbreakable was good too. I really liked Unbreakable.
Unbreakable was okay.
I like Sixth Sense, and I really liked Unbreakable. And when people were like, "Oh, Unbreakable, it's no Sixth Sense," I'm like, "It's like that saying like, you know,
Godfather 2 is no Godfather 1."
Or that's that's it's not even that ludicrous. It's more ludicrous than that. It's like it's a filmmaker making two different movies. It's like, you know.
Saving Private Ryan, no E.T.
They're just, he's making different, they're making different movies.
Well, that's true.
You know.
It really wasn't.
They're not, no. Yeah. One's an alien who eats candy and the other guys are in World War II. So, they, yes, they are different.
Yes,
so when I heard that complaint, it you know, I really liked Unbreakable to me as a comic book fan. I liked what he did. And then that movie last two summers ago where Mark Wahlberg, oh, my God, the plants are murdering people.
Oh, you didn't see The Village, though.
Oh, The Village,
oh
yeah.
God.
The Village,
oh my God.
That's a should have been an episode of The Twilight Zone.
That's when I turned the corner on that career. I just felt punched right in the cinematic face
and
that movie.
And I remember I wrote a review about the Mark Wahlberg one.
Oh,
The Happening.
Yeah.
And my review was like, he's like a ball player that I like that's in a slump and I want him to do better. And I loved his first two movies so much. This Airbender thing, you know, he didn't, because he was repurposing something, he couldn't put in his wacky twist-a-roo ending, which I like, because I feel like he's afraid to get away from that. So that he didn't have that. And there was like, but the lead kid, you know, I don't mind a bag on a 12-year-old kid because he's just probably excited to be in a movie, but his acting wasn't that great, which I know getting a 12-year-old to be a good actor is a tough challenge, especially something like this that's demanding, but it just...
What about Kick-Ass?
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah, a 10-year-old girl who's amazing.
Yeah, it's possible.
It is possible. No, you're right. It is possible, and it just was so boring, and it's just all this, like... It just seemed like somebody just whipped up a sci-fi fantasy thing with all this, like, go to the island of Marthok and blah, blah, blah.
It wasn't whipped up. I mean, it was planned for a long time. It had some rich source material. I mean, it really – it could have been an easy double.
They should have left the word Avatar in the title.
Exactly.
It was pretty bad, like, you know.
Sure, exactly. Very similar.
It was a remake of the bad Avatar.
Now – I think there's actually MPAA regulations where you can't have the same title within a certain amount of release date time. I think it's something like 6 months to a year where you can't do it. Like you can't. But if, like you said, they should have. Well, they just wait until that's over and then release it again. You know.
You know. And there's
that is the title of the cartoon.
There's some cool martial arts action stuff and some of the effects. Like I was like, there's no way I'm seeing this in 3D. I'm tired of that 3D scam.
Oh,
I'm sick of it.
Oh,
3D is terrible for me because I'm cross-eyed. So I don't actually see any 3D. I see people like going, whoa, and I'm like, what are they doing? I don't see
this. You put the glasses on.
It's just darker and it's really annoying. And then when I take them off, it's more blurry, but I don't see any 3D action. So it's basically Avatar was a physically and mentally painful experience for me. Then I would have left, but the rest of my party wouldn't go.
Oh, man.
Right.
Yeah.
You hit a
no,
bite.
I don't see the same thing with both eyes. So 3D just I don't get it.
Well, this was even worse because what they do now, like with Last Airbender, is they shoot it in 2D and then they run it through a computer to make it 3D. So that if you don't even shoot it on a 3D camera – it's like a double fuck you to the audience.
But here's like the whole 3D thing. It's like, you know what? People, real life, that's 3D.
Yeah.
Get out of the fucking seat and go live, and then you have some 3D.
Yeah, I know. It's honestly.
It's too much.
And they're just putting. There's a new movie I saw, Step Up, one of those hip-hop dancing movies that's going to be in 3D. Yeah. What the fuck does that need to be in 3D for?
I'm happy with the 2D. Personally,
yeah, it's great.
I
should go down to 1D, save some time.
I'll just read the script.
Yeah,
let's just do that. All right, let's move on.
Grown Ups. I don't think any of us have seen that movie.
Why?
Our intern saw it, and he was unimpressed with it, Dan. Here's the thing. Here's the reason I didn't want to go see that movie is because I don't want to see millionaire children who are aging play at making a movie. Because that's all it was.
And I don't want to see yet another movie that's pretty much entirely male cast.
I didn't even think of that. Yeah, that's true.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to watch Kevin James bumping anything.
Right.
One reviewer
that
said...
That eliminates his whole
Oprah. One reviewer said... That, yeah. One reviewer said, I think, I can't remember, it was USA Today or said something, this is the worst movie all of these people have ever made. And I was like, wait a minute,
yeah,
Rob Schneider's in this movie.
Yeah. Joe Dirt,
Deuce Bigelow? Come on now.
The sequel. There's two of them.
Deuce Bigelow 2, which is the worst movie ever made, and a good friend of mine helped write it. Dave Garrett, I hope you're listening. God bless you.
Yeah.
This movie, the trailer, I was like, huh? Why is Rob Schneider dating a... 70-year-old, like, what's that joke? It just seemed like it was all these just jokes slapped together.
Oh, I think that's being generous. I think they just showed up the first day and said, all right, what are we doing?
Yeah.
Okay, you people make it funny.
Yeah, we got to fill 90 minutes for
the
house.
You know what I mean? So many of these things, like, if they even have a script, which I agree, they probably didn't have one. They just showed up and funny.
Oh, no, they probably had one.
But they all just – all these movies, their final product seems like first drafts. Like, they just – like, do you spend any time on this? Do you – like, a first draft, yeah, vomit it all out on the page. Any stupid joke you got, great. And then go in – I mean, we're all writers here. You whittle it down. Like, oh, let's make this
punch
joke
up,
smarter.
Yeah,
punch it up.
Yeah, the bad movies make me sad.
Yeah.
It's sad because the amount of effort that goes into making any movie is enormous. It's like – and the resources.
Yeah.
They could
have
done
all this money. It's unbelievable. It's like
I could have cleaned up some oil off beaches.
Exactly. Exactly. Like
and Kevin James could have bumped into it.
And yes. He could have bumped into it. Whoa!
They could use him as one of those booms.
Yeah.
Like honestly, it really, I feel the same way. Like they put all this time and effort and money, and they probably. There's a crew of 150, 200 people or whatever that busted their asses for 3 months.
And I'm an underground sensation.
Yes, you're underground, and we're the funniest people. That are just, I'm just a sensation.
Yeah.
That no one knows about. It's that. Yeah. I just like. Why are you putting all this effort and that money? Like, could clean up the Gulf or feed a village or like. Make some entertainment that's good. You know, yeah, like
what? I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm tired of this. I'm
a millionaire. I could put up whatever I want.
And it is such a like, hey, I know we're in a recession and going to the movies is sometimes some of you might not be able to afford it, but you want it as a diversion and fuck you.
Yeah. We're just,
you know what I mean? You
around.
Work hard for your money. We're going to just slap this bullshit together. Be like, if you went to
it's
a nice
insulting.
Restaurant.
Yeah.
Paid all this exorbitant amount of
and
money.
And they serve you a Big Mac.
Yeah, and they just slap some like burger and they fucking eat it and be happy that we let you in this restaurant. Like, oh.
And they kill something to make that, too.
Yeah, murder.
Yeah.
This movie murders people.
Yes.
But there's enough good movies out there that, you know, from the past that nobody has to go to a bad movie. You could just stay home and rent an old one.
Right.
Which is good.
Which is why Netflix
We'll get to
nice.
Netflix later.
Oh, God. Love it.
Oh, right. Wow. How could we keep going within theaters? We have to talk about the Twilight Saga and Eclipse.
Oh, my God!
Yes. Oh, I went to see this movie last night.
Chris and I both have our shirts off.
Yeah,
choose.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You got to go. Team Chris. And the funniest thing
I'm
about,
a possum and right. he's a spider? Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. No, it makes perfect sense.
It totally does.
A love triangle with two monsters. Absolutely. The best part of last night, though, was I got recognized at the movie theater.
Wow. Well.
Like, hey, you're the guy that talks about those movies. Woo! Love you guys. So, all right.
And you didn't let them know you were going to see Eclipse, right?
No, I didn't. Okay, I made sure. And then he said, thank you, Leonard Maltin, which I thought was weird. So I went to see this movie, and there's a couple things I have to say. First of all, obviously this movie is not for us. This whole series is not for us.
Sure.
But, that's how I feel about almost everything.
But here's the thing, though. Yeah.
I'm not your target audience.
Right. This doesn't mean it wasn't a horrible movie. All three of these movies were absolutely terrible. I swear to God. This movie opens with Bella talking
don't
to
alienate
Edward.
Your teenage girl yeah, audience,
don't
buddy.
Your teenage girl goth vampire audience.
Goth.
It won't even fit on a bumper sticker. It talks about how she wants to become a vampire. She wants Edward to make her a vampire. This is how the movie opens.
Bad choice.
And he goes, marry me. And she goes, no, I can't. Really? That's too much commitment? Marriage? But, you know, you'll want to be an immortal bloodsucker? But marriage, no, that's too committy. I don't know. At least in marriage, you get to die.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
You can get a divorce.
Yeah, you can die sooner.
Unbelievable.
You can poison your spouse. There's so many options. You cannot do it when you're a vampire.
And it's, you know, this love triangle with the werewolf and then the vampire. And it's like we were talking about with Laura House, you know, good thing a mummy didn't come to town. You know, she loves sleeping with
cute,
the monster.
Though.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a little older.
It's true.
You know, have father issues. And then one of my favorite parts, too, and I'm laughing through a fair amount of this movie.
Were you the only one laughing?
Kind of, yeah, but I made sure I sat on the corner. But I also went to the 21 and older screening where you can bring alcohol in, and that helped considerably.
Wow.
This was one of my favorite parts is when Bella is standing next to Jacob in his werewolf form, and then he just goes, and then she, like, pats his head. She like scratches him behind the ear like a dog.
She's a plushie.
Yeah, she's a plushie. This is a werewolf who's trying to sleep with you. And then he just went, good boy, good boy.
Well, who hasn't fantasized? You know, you don't know this, but a lot of women like animals. You know, not to have sex with necessarily, but just they're attractive.
And to, right. You know, to cuddle, sure. Yeah. Now, the main – I
and to spend eternity
main,
with.
Yes, yeah, the you want to be immortal with. And the thing is, this woman, Bella, she's always needs to be saved. And this is the biggest problem. She's set feminism back by about 100 years. The whole point is –
Well, at least 3 weeks.
At least 3 weeks. We don't need a man to save us. We can save ourselves. All right, well, how about a monster? She's not only getting – she's always getting attacked by either a werewolf or a vampire. She always needs to get saved. And this was the best part. She got cold. She got cold in a tent, and the werewolf was really warm, so he had to save her. Really? You have to be saved again because you forgot to bring a coat? This is an unbelievable
movie. It was a one dog night.
Yeah, yeah. It was. The one thing I will say about this movie is
great band.
That it did have a little bit of action in it. Finally, there was a little vampire and werewolf action, a little bit of fighting, and then vampires apparently sparkle in the sunlight, which is also ridiculous. And then when you kill them, they turn into plastic or crystal or something. So they're
that's ridiculous.
Well, if it's plastic,
like,
I hope
less ridiculous if they don't.
It, sure, of oh, course. Okay. Vampires, when they hit sunlight, either the powers are supposed to go away or they burst into flames.
Yes.
Generally, that's a huge metaphor for the evil, light, dark. It makes perfect sense. But when you make them sparkly, then they become kind of angelic, and it kind of defeats the whole purpose.
Well, they turn into plastic.
Satan was an angel.
Yeah.
But he didn't get sparkly in the sun.
Okay, great. Pause.
Great pause.
You stumped me.
Yeah. And the other thing, too, I thought this movie from the trailers looked like, oh, there's this big epic story. People are getting killed in Seattle. There's like a huge vampire war, and none of that actually happens. So,
no.
Best of the three movies, which doesn't mean anything.
Okay. All right. And there's a review of this up, right? Isn't Laura going to write it?
No one can review these movies better than Laura House, and she'll have one shortly up on the site.
Her reviews of these make me cry. They're so funny. Because she's like, what would she say when we had her on the show that this woman just is picking bad men?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it's like, we all pick bad men, but she literally attracts monsters. She's like, I'm sorry. I hope Count Chocula never comes to town.
Well, Boo Berry, he's got a warm soul, everybody. All right, we got to move it up.
Yes.
Move it along.
Let's talk a little bit about Betsy's involvement with the Screen Actors Guild. We've got two great articles on the site, an insider stuff that Betsy's perspective. And
isn't that just the same article, part one and two?
Part
sure,
one and
we
two,
cut
yes.
it.
Yeah, but when
and the third, we're making a third one's going to be in 3D,
okay.
And it's going to cost more.
Because Betsy was very involved in SAG and had a lot to do with the SAG-AFTRA negotiations.
Well, I was very involved in SAG. I used to be on the board. I was on the boards of SAG and AFTRA. And almost more importantly, I was the founder and chair of the AFTRA-SAG Comedians Caucus for 9 years. And which was, you know, a really great experience because I think that was part of my realizing that comedians all share this life together. That's the same no matter whether you think somebody's funny or not. It doesn't matter. And but I eventually, you know, I came on the board with the very beginning of the militant group, or this latest round of militant group, because the people who founded the union were pretty militant, and but quickly split with them over the issue of merger, because it was obvious to me that this was the smart thing to do. Both SAG and AFTRA had the same jurisdiction, or at least a lot of overlapping jurisdiction, and if producers had a choice of who to go with, obviously they're going to go with the lower one, so... It just creates a messed up situation for the unions.
It creates a competition where there shouldn't be any.
Right, and it should be one union is stronger than two unions.
You know, the word is union.
Yeah.
It's simple. So, you know, so it was just obvious to me all along that should happen. And then, you know, there was this, I guess the piece I wrote was, it's called, what was it, SAG WTF?
Yes.
And which is
parts one and two.
Still on the site, correct?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And it was really my account of the SAG Civil War, which I think seems to be sort of coming to an end because I think that, you know, more and more people are realizing, yeah, duh. And I think there's going to be another merger referendum coming up. So people will have a chance to actually make that happen. And I think as, you know, things have gotten worse and worse, people are realizing the consequences of not doing it.
It's so preposterous to me. And every time this is, I mean, this has been the 15 years I've been in LA, every couple of years it comes up. And then when I hear people go, no, it'll, you know, anyone can join AFTRA and SAG. I go, I always say,
really? Look who's in SAG.
and I always say, I go, find me another union outside of show business where they don't want more people to join.
Right.
The Teamsters act that way. I mean, is the pipe
teachers fitter, union?
Teachers union? Are they like, no, we don't want that other school to join us? Because every union, as you pointed out, just karate schools, pointed out the stronger we are. Like I go, it's so simple, and then, you know, some of these actors are just so easily persuadable
right. By
these spies or moles or whatever that come in there, and of course, what do they use? Fear and all the union. Like we would have better overall, we'd have better health care, we'd have better everything.
Just, you might even have some health coverage.
Yeah, exactly.
Better meaning existing.
Yeah. So, anyway. I agree.
Well, I hope they do merge in the next referendum. It would be better for everybody.
So the article talks about, you know, how I came to this through my work with the Comedians Caucus. I hope it's funny.
No, it's great. They were great articles. Fantastic.
And they got picked up by SAGWatch.
Oh, yeah, they got picked up by SAGWatch. Yeah, they sure did.
So read up on our crazy unions and why they're insane. Anyway, all right, let's move it along here.
DVD releases, a bunch of stuff coming out. Hop Tub Time Machine. I actually loved this movie. I thought it was fantastic. It was really funny, but also had like a really cool nostalgic feel to it. Of those of us that did grow up in the 80s watching these John Hughes movies, it was fantastic. The thing that irritated me about it is how it kept being compared to The Hangover. They're different movies.
Yeah.
You can like both. It's okay. Funnier than The Hangover. I'm like, no, they can both be funny. I mean, you can. The other thing that I was really irritated
The movies kind of have different comedic sensibilities.
Of course they do. You know? They're different. I mean, it's like, oh, well, okay, well, then Star Wars is just like Avatar. It's still science fiction. It's the same thing.
Yes.
The box office analysts were saying, well, it didn't make as much money as The Hangover opening week. And who gives a fuck? First of all, it may not have cost as much, which affects the bottom line. And second of all, if you're a box office analyst, you have no other marketable skills whatsoever.
If you're a box office analyst, what did you really want to do in your life?
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. They're the guys that applied for jobs at McDonald's and got turned down. It's like, you know, if you're going to be...
But aside from that, Avatar made a lot of money.
Yeah,
okay,
sure.
Okay, rest my case.
Yeah.
Avatar made a lot of money. Okay, well then, Hot Tub Time Machine didn't make as much as Avatar.
Transformers so made good money.
Yeah.
Well, and things that make a lot of money aren't necessarily good.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable. These analysts that I don't even know how you get a job as a box office analyst because you clearly have no.
Heroin
skills.
Makes a lot of money.
Yeah. Yeah. So, sure. Didn't make as much as heroin. Uh-oh,
but that
therefore
is
it's
funny.
A failure.
Heroin is funny, especially when you inject it. Bent spoon.
You know,
and
it never goes out of. Style. It's not going to age or anything.
No, it's great.
So I recommend seeing this on DVD if you haven't already.
Good Go movie. For it.
Single Man, also saw that. Did not enjoy it. Great costumes. Great look of the film, of course. Everything because it was directed by Tom Ford, a fashion designer. And it was pretty much just a suicidal Three's Company episode.
Serious Man, on the other hand.
That was a great
Excellent.
Movie. Single Man, yeah. It's like every time he tried to kill himself, oh, no, the phone's ringing. Ooh, I better stop. I got
Mr.
Get this
Furley.
Gun out of my mouth. Yeah. Hello. So
that was Laverne and Shirley you just did. You just did Lenny and Squiggy. Hello.
It still interrupted a suicide attempt. So now, Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, you actually
saw it in a theater.
Mm-hmm.
And I had read already two of the books. And I went to see it with one person who'd read the books and two people who hadn't yet. So it was very interesting to see. It's a little different from the book. So
in a good or bad way, or just different mediums? Just
Well, it's different mediums, but actually the story's a little different, and which makes some sense because I think you can't possibly go into as much depth in the film. You had to make... you know, choices about what to cover and what not to cover. And so those of us who had already read the book were filling in a lot of gaps. We knew what was happening from the beginning, which apparently was not as clear to people who hadn't read the book yet.
Well,
but the main character is fantastic, and the actress is great. And I understand that this is going to be
an effort
to make it by an American director.
Well, here's what's going to happen.
So see it in this version because it's great. It definitely... They're not going to do better than that.
I want to say, like, I saw it in the theater too, and I loved it. And I knew nothing of the books, and I thought it was amazing.
Yeah.
And like you say, that actress, she is great.
She's fantastic.
She's fantastic. And there's some violent stuff in there. Like, that was a little hard for me to watch at times. So just know that going in.
Because I was eating meat.
Somebody ate a hot dog and I cried, murderer, and I left. It is amazing. And here's what I've heard. The
second one just came out, by the way.
Yeah, the other two books have been made into movies in Sweden, correctly, and they're going to re-release. They're releasing those in the States. One just now, and then another.
I think
one
on the 8th.
Yes,
it's in LA at least.
And then in October it comes out again. And I would see these because I'm so scared.
Me too.
Of the American version.
Yeah.
Because to me, I'm having flashbacks to La Femme Nikita and Point of No Return. Like,
oh. I mean, this. You know, the interesting thing to me about the girl with the dragon tattoo is the American name of the book, but the real title of the book is Men Who Hate Women.
Yeah.
That was the original title.
That's the
right?
Swedish title. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how they came up with this one, but I guess Men Who Hate Women, they figured isn't going to sell a lot in this country. But she's a true feminist character.
Jesus.
And I think.
Well, now they've just alienated all their women hating men.
Get that bumper sticker going. Yeah. it's an amazing.
But it's so rare and great to see like a true unapologetic feminist character, and that's why I really worry about what's going
to
happen
in
America.
Did she fall in love with a vampire? And did she have to be saved constantly?
Yeah, she pet a werewolf in Sweden. it's such a great character, and like
I would like to see it done with Marlene Gorris as the director.
Who's
Marlene? She's probably best known for Antonia's Line, and she made some movies before that. One of my favorite films. Which is very hard to find. It's a Dutch film called A Question of Silence. Excellent film and not available easily.
Even on Netflix?
Yeah.
Wow.
I've been begging for it. And then she has another movie, which I haven't even been able to find to see it, called Broken Mirrors. I think she would do a good version of this.
You know, I'm so worried. They're talking about casting choices, like maybe Scarlett Johansson or Ellen Page, and I'm like, I like those actresses. I just don't see how.
You need a new fresh face.
Yeah, you need an unknown. Get an unknown, which Hollywood will never do, as we talked about, because this girl, I've never heard of this. I don't know these Swedish actors, and she was so compelling, and.
She made you think of the character, not the actress.
I forgot. Yeah, I was literally. You know, in the interview, this Swedish actress is like, I don't want to do the American version because it was just too tough on me emotionally.
Oh yeah, I read that
to do it again.
Well, not only that, I just, you know, the problem with America is that, especially now, I don't think this was so true in the 70s. You see old movies and people look like normal people, whereas now it's always six men and a model.
Yeah,
and
that's a great title for a movie.
That's every
six,
movie.
Yeah, that's it.
But
six
you know,
men
it's.
And a model.
It's. I think it's hard for women to, you know, there to be women characters who don't have to look pretty all the time in America. You know, I just think for marketing reasons, that's not allowed.
Yeah, it's such a problem that it's always got to be these beautiful. And again.
Wait, what about Valentine's Day? That
Yeah, Valentine's Day.
If Toni Collette was younger, she could
it's
have done this.
It's Not You, It's
Me. Oh, yeah. Toni Collette would have been great in this.
Greg Grant's movie, It's Not You, It's Me. That had. Oh no!
No, that's good. Yeah. I concur with Betsy. Go see this movie, and if it is still in the theaters,
the creator died before any of the success.
Yeah,
happens.
There's
heart attack.
Well, and it's sad too because these are three out of a planned 10.
Books. Oh, I didn't know it was a planned 10.
Yeah.
I heard there was a fourth one on his computer.
There's a fourth one
erased.
That wasn't quite finished, and I think that there's going to be an effort to finish it. But then he was planning 10, which would have been great.
Oh, I didn't know.
And there's
that.
A fight, actually, for the rights of this between
a dictology?
A dictology.
Yes.
That's.
But there's a fight for this.
Dictograph.
between his common law wife, because they never actually got married, he's like living girlfriend, and then his actual dad and brother, they're fighting.
Who I believe he was estranged from, and they got the money.
Yeah.
She didn't get
weird.
Anything.
Everything's
I know.
Kind of in legal.
And she helped
right now,
like write him and everything, so it's like they're men who hate women.
But enjoy the movie.
Enjoy the movie. And watch the Swedish versions of the new movie come out.
Yeah.
Because
yes.
And then Rent.
And it's her again. It's the same actress.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's then I'm in. I'm in too. No matter what. And then get La Femme Nikita on Netflix and see an amazing movie, and then watch Point of No Return, the American version, and realize that maybe you should set your eyeballs on fire. and then
or just don't watch.
Or just don't watch. But I mean, watch them as a study, though. Watch them together. And the scene in La Femme Nikita, where her first undercover assignment, they spend like you talked about earlier, the European and French pacing specifically of setting up. She's delivering. They have her as a room service maid in this hotel, and they're so all these cops are taking all this time putting the tray together with the salt and the thing because they want to just get a microphone in there. That's it. And they take this so much time, and then she delivers it and leaves. And it's like, wow, they did that to show you this is how much time and what great lengths they will go to just to get a microphone in on this guy. Now, in the American version, they do it really quickly. She puts it in there. She's walking away. This is my first assignment. And the building blows up. They put a bomb in there, not a microphone. Like, it, you didn't need an explosion. Like,
we just need to blow up, and the girl needs to be naked. And
yeah, more naked explosions.
Yeah, werewolf guys with really good abs running around. Like,
anyway, we need to move it on.
All right, next DVD, Brooklyn's Finest.
Since we're getting short on time, just rent The Shield on Netflix and watch several episodes of that.
Is it worth seeing Richard Gere all bloodied up, though?
Again, watch The Shield and other really good, well-written cop dramas, and it'll be better than this or anything else.
Indeed. All right. Opening this week, Predators. Did we really – who is anybody asking for this movie? And the concept is so ridiculous. A bunch of killers get dropped onto a planet and have to fight Predators. But it's like the guy from the 70s show as a serial killer. Really? Really, he's going to fight a predator?
No, what is it?
Okay.
Isn't this Men Who Hate Women?
Yes. This is Studios Who Hate
and
Women.
And then what's the other guy who's in it who... Adrian Brody. He's a really good actor. Is he a badass? Is he like a Ranger, SEAL, sniper?
And one of the guys from The Shield.
Yeah.
And none of these guys look like... they could go toe-to-toe with one predator if they were all combined.
Yeah. So Adrian Brody... I'm sure you take Krav Maga and you're good at it, but I don't buy you as a killer. I'm sorry.
Despicable Me.
You just never know. That's the truth.
That's honestly true. You know, he could be
a wiry, really son of a bitch. You never know.
Adrian Brody, you wiry son of a bitch. New bumper sticker.
Now you're alienating your wiry sons of bitches.
To all of our wiry sons of bitches fans,
badass predator killers.
I'm sure you can kick ass on a foreign planet.
Despicable Me, the animated movie with Steve Carell doing a weird Hungarian evil accent. I don't know. That really could go either way. It could be really kind of funny and fun. It could be a good kids movie, or it could be just.
But tune in to number 19 to find out.
Yeah, that's right, kids. We'll have new bumper stickers by that episode.
Next movie, The Kids Are All Right.
Is that a reimagining?
I really thought it was at first a reimagining of the Who. It's not. It's about.
But enough time has passed; they can use the same title.
Indeed, more than 6 months. The lesbian couple is raising children.
All with
is it a documentary?
Annette Bening and.
It's a real question. What do you?
Oh, I thought it was a joke question. That is a valid real question.
And the girl from Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah, that looks interesting. That does look interesting.
Yeah, so I heard it's pretty good. So it's like one of the first Oscar contenders of the year. So we'll
I believe Annette Bening, more of a badass killer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I would buy that if Annette Bening, joined the Navy SEALs.
What's the guy from that 70s show? The
Ashton Kutcher?
No, the other one. Topher Grace.
Yeah. Is he in it?
That's what I'm saying.
He's in the Predators.
Yeah, Topher Grace is the serial killer, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Why not him and Shia LaBeouf and...
Oh, yeah, great.
Couple of the other kids. Oh God! What is this? Like a Boy Scout troop goes to the thing,
and the guy from Get Me to the Greek. Yeah,
Jonah Hill. Yeah. And
Predator Planet,
and the guy who plays Red Mist and Kick Ass are all gonna go thump some skulls. Game on!
Oh man. All right.
That was an uncomfortable pause.
It was. We've been pretty good at those.
We've been good. Well, look at the time. This is great. We're making good time.
We're on schedule. Let's start wrapping it up.
Wrap it up.
Let's talk about Betsy stuff.
Betsy,
first.
What do you got to plug? Where can the people get a hold of you?
Oh, and also we sell a lot of Betsy stuff on our site. And while you're here, you'll sign some stuff for us.
Sure.
We've got your books that we were talking about earlier, and they're hilarious too. Actually, I think we only have the first one.
Yeah, the Bible one.
The Bible one, yeah.
Okay, that's actually the new one.
That's the new one. Okay, yes. We have the new one, the Bible one, and then we have Betsy's CDs as well.
Yeah. And I actually have some stuff coming up for a change. On the 31st of July, I'm going to be taping. I'm doing a half hour to be taped for TV at the Broad Theater in Santa Monica.
Nice.
Oh, cool.
And if people go to my website, they can get the information on getting discount tickets for that.
And that's BetsySalkind.com?
Yes, BetsY.
And when will that special – when and where will that special air when it's
– That I don't know. Okay. Maybe never anywhere. Who knows? I mean, there's 100,000 channels now, so – well,
at the very least, you make it into
I have no control over that.
At the very least, you have a new
But
tape.
I'll give you a half hour of good TV. I mean, good live show. And then I've written a play. And got a reading coming up, which is actually not open to the public. But that play
go,
will be available. It'll be workshopping later. And information on that will also be on the site.
Can you give us the title?
Yes. It's called Discontinuation Syndrome. And it is... a comedy about depression. It's a custody battle between depression and Eli Lilly. Fighting for custody of a depressed woman in the court of judgmental.
That sounds great.
Love it. Anything else?
No, that's all. But go to the website. And
your website is?
Or Facebook me or whatever.
Yeah, BetsySalkind.com.
Yeah.
Spell that out for the folks.
BetsY. S as in Sam, ALKIND, or just go to Comedy Nerds and then
comedyfilmnerds.com.
Yeah, read many of her articles and reviews are up there.
Yeah, you can link to me through that, right?
Yes.
Or at least you had to spell my name.
Right.
And then I'll tell you what I'm doing that's good.
Mm-hmm.
I send out like one email a year. I don't like to burn out my list.
Right.
I like it. So what do we got going?
Have a CineSpace show coming up here in Los Angeles on July 17th at 6 to 8 p.m. It's early, and it's also actually free. Now, Graham, you'll be out of town for this, but I'll be hosting it with some of our other writers, with Dave Anthony, Frank Conniff, and Mike Schmidt. And we'll be doing it in conjunction with Hollywood Shorts. We'll be showing a bunch of great short films. You'll be able to network with other film people and filmmakers, and it'll be a great stand-up show, too. So come on out.
I want to be in that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Put you on. You want to be on?
Yeah, put me on.
Okay. Betsy's
and
on the show.
I can contribute a short film.
Whoa.
Wow.
Bring
Hello.
That to the table, kiddo. Look at you, wheeling and dealing.
So we're adding Betsy to the – you heard it here first.
Guess what?
Gentlemen, Betsy
just added
to the show.
All right. So that weekend actually –
how do you get on our shows?
Just
ask.
You ask when you're on the air, right. And it would be really awkward for them to say no.
Yeah.
Because I'm the first guest.
The first guest. Our next guest won't be on the CineSpace show. No, so what else you got to plug?
Oh, and just my book, Pacify Me, A Handbook for the Freaked Out New Dad. Pick that up if you have a new dad in your life.
And, or even if you don't. It's very entertaining.
Even if you don't, it is.
I read it. I don't have any kids or dads.
Signed and personalized on comedyfilmnerds.com.
Outstanding. You can see me July 14th and 15th headlining the Skyline Comedy Cafe in Appleton, Wisconsin. And then the 16th and 17th, I will be there with Doug Benson. And then I will be with Doug Benson on our Pot the Vote tour to get people in California to legalize marijuana. I don't smoke it. Should be legalized. July 20th and 21st at the Sacramento Punchline, the 23rd in Visalia, California, special 420 show. Sunday, July 25th at the San Francisco Punchline.
Somebody's working.
Look at this guy. Monday, the 26th at the San Jose Improv, and the 27th of July at the San Francisco Punchline.
And all these dates will be on the Comedy Film Nerds calendar.
Comedy Film Nerds calendar, and also, yeah. GrahamElwood.com, Facebook. Chris and I and we have a new Facebook page for Film Nerds.
Yes, yes, and it's actually having some activity. So,
yeah, we're actually running it.
Actually updating it. So check us out on Facebook, the Film Nerds fan page, and then we're also on Twitter, Comedy Film Nerds.
Yeah, my CD, Comedians Got a Boo Boo, all the other stuff online.
Don't forget Chill Packs, and you're you have a nice gift pack right now. People have been actually emailing about that.
Yes, new gift pack that has a Palm Strike shirt, headband, CD, and it comes with a free DVD, the Live from Afghanistan DVDs while supplies last.
That's out of print. People have been emailing about that, how they can get one. So that's how you get it. You get it as a gift pack.
I really appreciate, Chris and I really appreciate everybody listening. We thank you, Betsy. Thank you, Dan, the intern. Ben, the other intern that set up the toddler bed.
Yes.
And all you guys listening and coming out to the shows, and we appreciate it. Every time you guys buy something from us, we appreciate your supporting independent artists like Betsy and many
supporting
others.
Supporting the site and the podcast.
And you're supporting the site, and you're not supporting shitty corporate nonsense.
So God bless you.
At that moment.
All right. So thank you very much for listening. My name is Graham Elwood.
I'm Chris Mancini. And thanks to our guest, Betsy Salkind.
And remember, there's comedyfilmnerds.com. And as always, Han shot first.